Okay, the last element here of the leadership principles, P, plan. You have to have a plan and understand what a plan is made up in. A lot of times I've sat in and on meetings, whether it's in the military, the state police, or when I was in my civilian sector before I came on the state police in management business areas, I would see these people get together for a meeting and there was no objective plan. There was no end state. There was no follow through. It was just a lot of discussion, free flow, brainstorming. At the end of the day, people patting each other on the back, and there was no decisive plan. A plan consists of certain elements. Authentic leaders will have a well thought out plan drawn from their training, experience, and knowledge. The importance of planning cannot be overstated. The time spent in proper planning and preparing is equal to the importance of the actual battle. Without a proper drawn-up plan, coupled with poor preparation of men and equipment, the outcome of the battle has already been determined before it started. Planning will always address the five W's: who, what, why, where, when, and how. This is critical for every leader to truly grasp in order to achieve victory. These principles apply to all human endeavor. A plan will consist of the following characteristics. One, we got to pray, right? You want to say, and that's that act of humility, right? Pray. You got to start praying. Otherwise, you're going to think you know it all. So you're asking God's guidance and strength. For guidance and strength and wisdom, patience, to endure, to stay focused, set the example of your men. Three, prepare. Identify what you and your men will be facing. Identify the objectives that you must be achieved for the mission to be successful. What factors will affect the men and equipment. Have an honest assessment of your capabilities and your men, and prepare the men with training that will replicate the conditions they'll find themselves in. Very crucial. Do not cut corners with planning and training, and how much time do you have to prepare for your men. Practice. It never stops. You're always practicing your battle drills. You're always preparing your men to get ready for what they're going to endure. And you want the training to replicate what it is that they're doing. And it could be something as simple as me sitting down with my son as he's doing his letters, uppercase and lowercase. I'm there with him. And I show him how to do it a couple times, show him how to hold the pencil, how to sit upright in the chair. And he does it over and over again until he gets it right. But have a plan. Prayer. We'll go back to prayer. Good leaders essentially pray, constantly pray. When I was in Iraq, I used to carry a little index card, and I kept it in my fatigues, and on it, the first thing it said is, have you done everything for your men today? Have I did everything for my men? Was there something I was forgetting? Do they have all the equipment that they need? Do they have the training that they need? Is there something that's missing? Two, I would put down, am I putting them first? Am I putting my men first? Or am I doing stuff to put myself first? And then three, the third thing I would put down is pray. I would always pray for my men. Whatever time I had, sometimes it was just an Our Father or a Hail Mary. Some days I would get a rosary. But I prayed for my men. And it was hugely important. We were very successful with our mission there in Iraq. Before we even went to Iraq, myself and my team leader, we both went to confession together. We went to a Benedictine monastery to get right with the man upstairs before we were being sent off to war. So we both went to confession together. And when I was up there with the Benedictine monks, I gave them a list of everyone's name on the team, their full name, so they would pray for us. And they kept us in their daily mass. And let me tell you something, those prayers were answered. Everything that could go our ODA's way went our way. I mean, we were very extremely successful. Everything from when a suicide bomber came into the compound, the only person that was hurt was the knucklehead who blew himself up. The patrol is going outside the wire with IEDs not blowing up. We retook control of an insurgent-held town, and we were working some tough days. We had 600-man battalion of Iraqis assigned to 12 Americans. We made for some long days. And then at the same time, we were expected to train these men up to fight a counterinsurgency. All while this was happening, we started a new police department. We were so successful in the area that we were working in, the Armored Cavalry Regiment, we were in their battle space, they would send down their officers and NCOs to meet with my team commander and us to see what it was we were doing. I'm very grateful. I had a wonderful team commander, wonderful NCOs in the team. These men were the epitome of good leaders, wonderful soldiers. So I'm very grateful for them. It was a team effort. Another gentleman on the way when we came back home was kind enough to capture the story of what went on in Afghani. The gentleman, Stan Grip, he's an author. He's actually here in the audience. And he ended up publishing a story that was later printed in Army magazine. So praying does have its benefits, gentlemen. You don't think George Washington prayed for his men at Valley Forge? All right, so pray for your men. Pray for your family. You should be doing that daily. Patience. Without plenty of patience, leaders quickly lose focus and perspective during trial and hardship. Leaders will require patience from their men in order to be successful. The only way to achieve that, you must demonstrate patience day in and day out regarding all your actions and thoughts while the burden of command weighs on you. While the burden of command weighs on you. There's a wonderful quote. It's called "The Loneliness of Command." A British historian whose name escapes me right now. But the loneliness of command, that really truly captures what it means to be a leader. And sometimes you find yourself in that loneliness of command. And when you find yourself there, turn to Christ. Turn to the sacraments and turn to prayer. Prepare. Leaders develop a well-thought-out plan in advance prior to the conflict striking. When you find yourself in the whirlwind of difficulty, take the initiative and develop a plan of action. These plans are based on training, experience, and knowledge. Leaders persevere under hardship. They do not wilt under the first sign of trial or suffering. Practice and train hard for the fight that you will encounter. So practice hard in the engagement that you will find yourself in and your subordinates. If you have a certain task at hand, whether it's raking leaves or fixing the plumbing, understand what it is that you're doing. Make sure that your men are properly trained to do that so they can execute the mission. Practice. Leaders always with their men practice. Their battle drills will determine the outcome of the mission at hand. Always honing your skill sets. We have a saying in the Army, the more you sweat in training, the less you bleed on the battlefield. The more you sweat in training, the less you bleed in the battlefield. Take these words to heart. Many men have lost their lives or were seriously wounded due to the lack of preparation, failure to train hard, and failure to train to standard. Reflections and examination of your conscience. Do you pray to Christ for strength, guidance, and wisdom? Do you ask Jesus to fill your heart with his peace and perseverance and patience? Do you prepare yourself and the men under your charge for the battle at hand? Do you pray genuinely for your men and for your family? Do you faithfully execute and practice your battle plans? Do you prepare a well-thought-out plan for the engagement that your men and you will be engaged with? Prayer. Dear Jesus, teach me to pray with a servant's heart, to receive the grace of peace and patience, to persevere during the struggles and hardship of life, to properly prepare my men for the task at hand. Dear Lord, grant me the desire to be a living example of your Ten Commandments, that those around me and under my care clearly see the truth of your words. Dear Lord, grant me the desire to embrace the three theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity, to simply and faithfully glorify your will. Understand, gentlemen, that each and every one of us are called to lead in some aspect or another, regardless of where you find yourself. And where you find yourself, that's your position of the battlefield. So your mission is not my mission. And a wonderful example of that is the Blessed Mother. Only through time and eternity, she could fulfill that mission. God's never going to take away our free will, so we always have the ability to say yes and no. Thankfully for all of us, Mary said yes. But that was a unique mission only she could fulfill throughout time and eternity. And each and every one of you have your own specific mission that you're called to fulfill. I can't fulfill yours and you can't fulfill mine. So where you are in life, whatever turmoil you find yourself, wherever you live, how many kids you have, you're dealing with trouble at home, maybe your wife passed away, you're by yourself, God put you there for a reason. You have a mission to fulfill. And you're only going to know what that mission is until you say yes to Him and you start living His commandments and living the faith that He wants us to live. Go to confession. Pray. Take the time to understand what your mission is. It's only through humility and only in saying yes to God will you understand what your mission is, what it is that you're called to do. Each and every one of us is assigned a specific cross, a specific mission. Our act of the will is a precious gift. Just as infinite graces flow from the passion of Christ, so will graces from heaven flow through you carrying your assigned cross of leadership. Many souls will be led to Christ. Endure the weight of your cross, for it glorifies Christ. All of us, whether we choose it or not, are called to lead others towards Christ. Who among us will answer the call? Who among us will pick up and labor under the weight, ridicule, and hardship and glory of carrying your cross to Christ crucified? Gentlemen, keep me in your prayers. I will keep you in your prayers, in my prayers. And God bless each and every one of you. Thank you. We'll take a 10-minute break, gentlemen, and then we'll have our next speaker.